In the name of God's own Son, our shining Epiphany Lord, dear children of the light, children of the Heavenly Father. You know, reality TV's been on for a long time. In the early days, there always were hidden cameras, right? So they'd show somebody walking down the street and just how'd that get there? Yes. Maury just stood there and looked up. Didn't have to say anything. People would stop and show everybody stopping, and they'll just start looking up same way he was. I just all looking. It's like, what are you looking at? And then he just turn and walk away and leave them all. What was that about? Nothing. But it does demonstrate the way people very naturally get curious and forget themselves. They just look at whatever is attracting somebody's attention. So what if John the Baptist had just gone into Jerusalem, set up a booth, and started preaching? I suppose he would have looked kind of strange, a guy in camel's hair, you know, leather belt around his waist. But maybe not. Some of you go downtown Minneapolis, I mean, other cities in the country, I mean, you see stuff, right? People watching, certain times of the year in particular. It's, you know, okay, just another strange sight in the city. Maybe they would have just thought, well, you know, he preached against the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, so kick him out of town or send him out to the leper colony, get rid of him. But nobody really would have listened. But nobody has the ability to draw attention to the message the way the Lord God Almighty does. This is one of the most fascinating things as you study the Bible and you look over all this time. This was not John's idea, what he does. As weird as it is, he didn't come up with this. In fact, I will tell you honestly that I am so skeptical as a person that I would never believe the Bible if John had thought of this himself. There's a lot of Christians like that. You talk to people that have studied the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. It's too strange, except that you go back over all these centuries and you find out that the Lord had been predicting this, as we're going to hear in a second here. It wasn't John's idea. It was God's plan. The time finally came, and God had a way to make sure that everybody knew now's the time. This epiphany, this shining forth of Jesus as God's own Son, was meant for everybody to see then and everybody to see now. And I thank God for bringing us together today on this Sunday, the baptism of our Lord, to see how his plan all came together there in the waters of the Jordan River. We need to see our Savior there. We need to hear what the Lord says to him. Because the Lord is saying the same thing to us today too. And it's a sweet, sweet sound that God has for us. Not John's idea, but the epiphany is powered by the Word of God. And it first happens out there in the desert, out in the wilderness. Listen. Just listen. Except for a few small voices. Silence. If I waited 4 minutes, you'd feel like it was an eternity of silence. Come on, Pastor, we didn't come here to just sit here. Let's go, you know? Imagine 400 years. In your Bible, you just flip the pages between the end of the Old Testament, Malachi, to Matthew. That's 400 years of silence. And now, they start to hear there's a messenger out there. And we've heard about this one before. we have to go out. The Lord had said 700 years earlier, like Isaiah again, we heard from him before. In the Hebrew, many of our pastors remember this, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord, your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You hear the kindness coming through there? The Lord just pulling us in. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way of the Lord. This is 700 years before it happened. Make straight in the wilderness the highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you're hearing Handel's Messiah in that, that's one of those famous songs in there of the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, and so it's going to happen. But you talk about skeptical. You find this all over the Bible. If you feel skeptical about the Bible and about the Christian religion, you've got a lot of company in the Bible. So this old man Zechariah is a priest. They had a, you know, rotation. And so they went family by family. There, his family came up, and then they cast lots. We don't know exactly how they did, but it was his turn to go offer incense in the temple. He's an old man. His wife Elizabeth's really old too, well past childbearing. You talk about a skeptic. Zechariah has an angel, Gabriel, tell him, "You guys are going to have a son in your old age, but not just any son." This is in Luke chapter 1. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Don't miss that name, Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And you know how Zechariah, really? How can I believe that? I'm an old man. And Gabriel then basically put a discipline of the Lord on him. Okay, you're not going to be able to talk. I heard this from God. I stand in the Lord's presence. You're going to be dumb, not able to speak until the boy is born. 8 days old, time to circumcise him and name him. Mother Elizabeth is trying to convince everybody, call him John, but nobody in your family has that name. Finally, they give a tablet to old Zechariah. He writes, "His name is John." Remember that from Sunday school? His name is John. And then he can talk. So the discipline is off at that point, and he just filled with the Holy Spirit. He says many things, but you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Now he gets it. The skeptic has fallen to the grace of God and his word. For you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and so forth. It was said in the Old Testament hundreds of years before, and then the angel comes and says, now it's going to happen. And then Zechariah gets it. The son is born. These miracles happen over and over again. They're not by accident. In case we might miss a few of them, the Holy Spirit gives us not one, not two, not three, but four witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They don't collaborate. You can tell they're not comparing as they write, but they don't ever disagree with each other either. The same intelligence of the Holy Spirit. Study it. I really urge you to study it. It's amazing the deeper you dig into it. All these years, I'm still learning so much. Learned so much in Bible class. It's the awesome God. So I have a printout here with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the baptism of our Lord, John coming to baptize, because you get details from the other ones. Not an accident. John comes with this message. This is what he's preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That word repent is a loaded word. It means change your mind. Change your mind about yourself. If you think you're a good person, God has a message for you, and it's not pretty. We're not, any of us, good before God. But wait a minute. That's only the first half of it when you realize that. Wait for the good news to come. This is what God has for you in Christ, his goodness, which he wants to put on you and give you as a free gift and all the forgiveness that goes with that. John is very clear on that message. So, are you shocked that everybody's emptying out the towns and coming from the whole countryside and they're all going out there in the desert? Remember, silence! 400 years. Now all of a sudden the voice is out there. He's dressed like Elijah. That old prophet, wearing camel hair and the leather, and he's eating the same thing, locusts and wild honey. So they go out, they want to hear him, and these are really important people wearing robes and stuff like that. You know, the religious leaders all go out there, and this is what he says to them. Now, imagine the preacher. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, you snakes. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" See, God's wrath is coming on Judgment Day, and it's nearer now than it was 5 minutes ago. That's the way the Lord looks at it, coming and coming quickly. "Who warned you?" And then he says, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." So there's more to repentance than just being sorry for your sins. There's also faith and forgiveness and the gratitude that just wants to help people then. The gratitude that comes from that forgiveness. Don't, you know, rely on your denomination. That's basically what he's saying. If you think Abraham's your father and that's going to get you in because you're Jewish, no. You think you're going to get in because you're Catholic or Lutheran or Wisconsin Synod Lutheran, nope. Not going to work for you. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. That repentance has to be there, that change of mind. And only the Lord can do that. And he does it first by telling us that we have these dreadful sins. And then he says the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. This is bad news. For every one of us who's self-righteous by nature, here's God's law. And you think, "I'm not a murderer, I haven't stolen all that much, and, you know, I haven't committed adultery, I'm faithful." Well, that, you know, just bad thoughts are enough to condemn us. So the Bible goes on. I mean, they're tightening this down on us. God's law is like a window that you can't just, you know, break a part of the window, or you've broken all of it. Or try this sometime to partially pop a balloon. Think so? Partially pop a balloon. That's God's law. You break part of it, you've broken all of it, and then it all condemns you. It cuts us no slack. The whole point of that bad news in the Bible is to tell us who are self-righteous by nature, and I'm saying us, this is me too. You're not going to cut it with God. There's got to be a better answer. John is telling that to the people, even the self-righteous religious leaders. You've got to get to repentance, not just in your sorrow, but in your faith in the one that's coming. So they're baptized into this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and the Lord knows exactly what he's doing as he's telling John to tell the crowd, the tax collectors, the soldiers. They all wonder what they're supposed to do to show that they actually are sorry and trusting in Jesus as their Savior. Out there in the wilderness, the message comes. And you have to ask yourself, how did John know? They're cousins, Jesus and John. How did he know who it was going to be? Because they got all the crowds. How are you going to pick the right guy out of the crowd? You know, the artists don't help us here because they put a halo on Jesus and others that they call saints. And there are no halos on people. I'll just tell you that right now. Jesus looked like anybody else. In Isaiah, it said he didn't have any form or comeliness to attract us to him. There was nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. So John admitted, this is in the Gospel of John chapter 1, he said, "I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" So John says, no way would I have known either, but watch for that dove, the Holy Spirit, to come down. And that's what happened. John and all the gospel writers report this as the way it happened. It was written, all the people were coming out to listen to this message. "I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." they all come out. And at that time, too, then, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. It's one of the things I love about this gospel of Mark. The Holy Spirit used the style of the writers. Mark's is the shortest of all of them, but as far as we know from ancient records, Mark got his content from the Apostle Peter. So Mark was accompanying Peter and listening to his sermons. You remember the boisterous, fiery personality of Peter. So Mark drinks all that in, and when he writes, he uses these powerful verbs. He doesn't just say, oh, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, you know, fluttering around like this. No, he uses a word that, I don't want this to sound bad, but it's almost like the Holy Spirit was dive bombing, just coming down in the form of the determination of the Holy Spirit to come down like that and rest on Jesus. And the heaven was torn open. It's only Mark that reports it that way. The translations pick that up pretty well. Heaven was torn open. Jesus is there. The dove comes down. And then the voice from heaven that said, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Epiphany, powered by the word in the desert, but also in the water. I have to warn you. People take John's words and just twist them all to pieces. They try to tell us that, well, you know, John says, I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So then they want to tell us there's two baptisms there. They talk about water baptism as if it's different than spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit himself tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So any interpretation of the Bible as if there's more than one baptism is a heresy, a false teaching, a false doctrine. Reject it. It's not the Lord speaking to us. There's one baptism. But the Bible also tells us that that word baptize can be used in a figurative sense. Jesus used it in a figurative sense. He said, I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is finished. So Jesus used that word baptizo in the Greek in the sense of being totally flooded with this grief and this distress that was going to come on to him on the cross, and he used the word that way. So let the Holy Spirit tell us what he means. There's one baptism. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, the holy writer Luke there points us to Pentecost as the time when Jesus, according to his promise, sent the Holy Spirit and just totally inundated them, flooded them with the Holy Spirit. But that continues to this day. As Jesus sends his word and sacrament of baptism, sacrament of the altar, the Holy Supper, he's flooding us with his grace and the Holy Spirit. It's all in the sphere of, was the literal translation in the Greek. So Jesus is continuing that today. But what is this? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Listen, because he explains it in the next verse. Both Matthew and Luke report this. John says, his winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn. Picture that Jesus uses of believers gathered like wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That again is that wrath of God coming in judgment day. Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's no more complicated than that. And the condemnation includes this fiery lake of burning sulfur, the flood of wrath from God, not because God wanted it. God wants everyone to be saved. But he warns us, you reject the Lord, there's no life without him. In fact, there's only that place prepared for the devil and his angels. The eternal hell, the fiery lake of burning sulfur. So hear the word of the Lord. Listen, repent, believe, trust in the Lord. That's what he wants. Not tomorrow, not some other day. Today, trust in the Lord. We don't know whether the Lord will come back tonight, but he wants us ready at all times. He may come for you today. Be ready. Trust in the Lord. He is the one who came as this promised Savior who gets this word of God from heaven. This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased with him, the beloved Son whom I love. This is one of the neatest things about the way the Bible describes the baptism that we've received. John's baptism was essentially the same as Christian baptism that we celebrate today. Because some of Jesus' disciples were baptized by John. Jesus himself was baptized by John. They were never told to be rebaptized. That was Christian baptism. There was water, there was the Holy Spirit, the Word was there. That's a Christian baptism. Jesus tells us in Matthew 28 to say in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, but it's essentially the same. Christ and his righteousness is put on you in your baptism. Your sins are washed away according to the Scripture, and the gift of the Holy Spirit comes on, not just for adults, because every place where it comes up, everybody's included. There's never a passage that says, but only the adults, only, you know, some age of reason or whatever the case may be. That's what people have added on to it. It's meant for all nations, all people literally is there. So you can think as we begin each service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, God put his name on me. You come as we do week after week and we confess guilt of all sin. Maybe that sounded strange if you haven't been in church for a while and you never heard that before. We actually confess being guilty of all sin. That's okay because Jesus washed it all away. It's like a mortgage that's paid already or a battle that's already won, a war that's over, and Jesus is the champion and you're forgiven. He puts his name on you in your baptism, makes you his own. And so when you hear those words, this is my beloved Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased. You should also realize the Lord is saying that about you. But what did I do? Nothing. You sinned, but Christ is the Savior of sinners. The jailer at Philippi, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved in your household. Then four more verses, it goes on and on about household. All believed, all baptized. There's a sweet passage to end here for us today. I'm going to go back to one of the minor prophets with a major message. This is in Zephaniah. You can look it up just a little bit before Matthew and Malachi. Zephaniah 3 verse 17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Name Jesus means Savior. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's one of the privileges of being a grandpa right now and seeing the little grandchildren being born and watching my daughters or my bonus daughter, my daughter-in-law, with their little ones and the joy that they have of cradling that little one and the fathers that love those little ones. This is a picture that the Lord gives us of the Heavenly Father's love for us who mess our diapers. We cry at night. We can do so many things to mess up the world. But he will take great delight in you. He will comfort you with his voice, with singing. Imagine God singing out of delight in all who turn to him in faith. Trust in the Lord. Take delight in the epiphany of our Lord and the baptism of our Lord. And if you've not yet been baptized, I'd love to talk to you. This is meant for all people. If you know anybody not baptized, let's talk. Bring it to the nations. Christ wants this light to shine in the darkness so that all can see his light shining all the way home to glory with God in heaven. But comfort now. Comfort my people. You be the comfort of God out there where you live and tell people of Christ's epiphany and the delight of the Lord in his forgiveness. For Jesus' sake, amen.